Any questions? So next week, we're going to recap, kind of sum up everything and say, where do we go from here? All right, so look through the books and think of some ideas of what we can do. Where do we go from here? Amen? Ted, you're shaking a pen at me.
Your contact with other churches, do you see other churches having this heart?
Not quite, but there's six churches that meet together every other Thursday right here, and we go over the same video, and there's some movement there. There's some ideas. As a matter of fact, one guy's saying, well, why are we watching a video? Why aren't we doing this? So, there's some movement there, but it's not as broad as I had hoped, when we started this whole process out. I had hoped some of the churches that are part of the prayer group, more of the churches that are part of the pastor prayer group that I'm a part of, would be a part of this, and they haven't been for various reasons. So, but you start with what God gives you and see where we go from there. So I think it'll catch on. Yeah.
I felt like today, like he's almost speaking a foreign language.
Yeah.
I understand what he's talking about, but I don't understand what it looks like.
Right. And that's what we had to synthesize for ourselves, because he I think purposely doesn't give you, here's the steps you need to take. It's more of the mindset, the change has to be more of an internal change. Right. So it's, what do I do differently in my daily life? He's talking about how does he put that? As not program, but process. So if it's part of our DNA to make disciples, then as we make a disciple, they'll be making disciples. And that is multiplication.
Right.
But if our DNA is just winning one and then going and winning another, and boy, I hope they stay in the church kind of thing, then we're just going to have addition. And that's kind of a difference. So in a sense, we've got to upset the apple cart a little bit and say, hey, maybe some of the things that we've been doing traditionally or whatever, we got to reevaluate and say, maybe we should start doing things differently. In particular, how we spend our time and whatever. One of the things I was hoping that he would talk more about, but he didn't, is the whole idea of the grace story or your testimony. And I think I mentioned this before. I went out to Heartland Ministries to talk to some former drug addicts that are now serving God and in the kingdom. And every one of them can tell you their testimony within 5 minutes. And they'll start out, they'll say, well, I was a drug dealer, or I was running from the cops. Or they'll tell you where they were at. They'll bring you up to the cross. They'll tell you what it took for them to receive Jesus Christ and now what's happened since then. Every one of them can do that. And it's not a hard thing. And even if we are saved when we're like 5 years old, we can still talk about, what is God doing today? We had a great church service and a bunch of people went forward and we prayed and somebody got healed from their back, their back or whatever. There's stuff we can talk about the reality of God. And that's something I'm kind of excited about, because what's that scripture talks about? Things that are spiritually appraised. The natural man can't appreciate the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness to them, because they're spiritually appraised. And so, like at Men's Challenge, a lot of times we give a devotional. We talk spiritual things. And, the guys kind of sit through it. But, boy, when we give a testimony, Jim Galena is gone, so I can talk about him behind his back. last Thursday morning, he came and gave his testimony at Men's Challenge. And there's a group of kids there from a program called Quest. And the lady that brought them, as he left, because he had to go home to get some sleep because he's working nights, he left. She ran out after him and said, how did you get that piece that you're talking about? And he spent like 15 more minutes just ministering to her. Why? Because of the word of his testimony. What does it say in Revelation? They overcame by the blood. They overcame Satan, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. I think that's something we need to get a handle on. I think Dwight Smith uses that word incarnate. That basically means put flesh on. So What a testimony does is it takes a spiritual concept and puts flesh on it because it happened to me. And nobody can argue with you about your testimony. Oh, that didn't happen. Well, I was there. It did. You know, I remember I was at a retreat and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when we came back, some people said that it didn't happen. I'm like, well, shoot, I was there. I saw it happen. I know exactly what happened. It was like second chapter of Acts all over again. I ain't lying. I know what I saw. So anyway.
So good. He's encouraging that in our local area of whatever it was.
Right.
The circle of accountability, plus encouraging us to partner with other places.
Right. You know, obviously some things have to start within the church body. You know, we've got to kind of reevaluate things and kind of fester some things and grow ourselves. And then there's other churches, you know, I'd like to bring alongside of us. And there are some in the area that are coming alongside, but I'd like some more. And unfortunately, the more well-established a church is, the harder it is going to be for them to change. And there's a church that's just starting up from the ground up, and they're going to start with this stuff right away. And they even may outrun us in this. But I'll tell you something. Let me say something that I'm very proud of with regard to the Alliance Christian Center. There's like, I think, five different churches that were asked to pray for individuals in Men's Challenge. So we all had our lists, and we all brought them back. And, you know, the one guy that was pushing for the program, he said, well, you know, how many names did you get? And I said, oh, I got about 30. And he was like, wow, I only got 9. And it was like, really, it was less than double digits for all the other churches. And I don't know, maybe it was the process or whatever, but, you know, it made me feel really good that, you know, even though the clipboard even didn't get all the way around the church, you know, I got 30 names of people that want to pray for guys at Men's Challenge. That's phenomenal. So I sense our hearts in the right direction, our hearts in the right place. And, you know, I just think we just got to step up some things. I don't think we need to, you know, wreck the ship, so to speak, but I think we can step it up. I think there's things that we can do a little bit better.
We may not know how to do it yet, but we want to do it.
Yeah, well, yeah. But I don't think the how is all that... Yeah, I don't think that's all that important. Or, you know, you guys know George Sandrew, you know, 93-year-old guy, or 83-year-old guy, sorry, George. I mean, today at the Y, you know, one of the ladies that usually comes to the weight room, she wasn't there, her husband's having back surgery today. He said, hey, Paul, what do you think about getting some guys together and pray? I said, okay, sure, where do you want to do it? He says, right here. So, you know, half an hour later, we had like 12 people right in the middle of the weight room grab hands. We all grabbed hands, and I prayed. You know, I prayed for the guy, and it was phenomenal because about half the guys in that circle probably aren't even saved. Some of them are like, you know, holding hands. But it's George. They respect George. They see the love of God working in him, and so he asked them to do something. They don't question. They said, yeah, let's. What's it going to hurt? You know, that kind of thing. So that's what I'm talking about, stepping it up. You know, here I am, a pastor. That wasn't even the first thing on my mind when he told me about this lady's husband. You know, that wasn't even on my radar. Hey, let's get a good group of guys right in the middle of the weight room to pray for him. But it ought to be. It ought to be the first thing on my mind. So we all got to grow, right?
Well, basically, it's God's people giving a passion for people.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Because when we have a passion, we'll be doing it.
Right. Yeah, I think so. But sometimes I think, you know, we may have a passion. I don't know. I see a lot of quote-unquote ministries in town where people may have a passion for people, but they're just putting the Band-Aids on things and feeling good about it. Oh, I fed some people. I feel good about that. Or, you know, I helped a guy find a job. Feel good about that. Yeah, so let's step it up a notch. Let's get something spiritual going here. You know, there's eternity that's coming really quick for some of these guys.
And I mean, I think there's a passion. There's a Holy Spirit inspired activity, you know, and strategy that I think what he's talking about is seeing the big picture. That's why I keep saying, you know, we have to have the outcome in mind. You know, what are we trying to accomplish?
Right.
So that we know, you know, are we actually doing something that's taking us toward that goal?
Right.
You know, and so, you know, I mean, sometimes, yeah, we can be very passionate, but very ineffective.
Right.
I've kind of done that a lot in my life.
Oh, yeah. That's probably been most of my life. But I think part of that, too, comes in seeing where the Holy Spirit's working. Because I think if we're outcome-minded, if we're looking, you know, past the problems and all the situation and looking at the goal is seeing people saved, and we see, hey, you know, it looks like the Holy Spirit's doing something over here. Let's go jump in there and see what's going on. I mean, you know, I remember talking to a pastor one time, and he was praying in a group of people, and he's praying for this one person, and this other lady just, boom, you know, the Holy Spirit was ministering to her. You know, but the lady he was trying to pray for, you know, nothing was happening. And it, who can predict what the Holy Spirit's going to do? But we know that we know that we know that we know that God wants to see people get saved. So we know the Spirit's working somewhere. So let's just kind of get our eyes out there, you know, looking. And yeah, be passionate about people in the right way and not get caught up in, I don't know, the mechanisms as much as...
But again, I think, you know, when he talks about, you know, when we see the size and the scope of the project, it's going to cause us to want to work with others. You know, that whole idea of interdependent leadership and those things, you know, that we recognize what we need. You know, other churches to partner with us, and we need all the people here to be, you know, plugged in and doing their part. You know, I mean, it just, I think, when, you know, again, you start with that bigger picture, it just tends to lead you toward that.
Right. Yeah.
When he talks about, he uses this term exegeting your geography, what he's really saying by that is, he's saying, figure out what is the makeup of your community. That's all he really means. So, if our city, you know, has 23,000 people in it, which somewhere 20,000 people, I guess, and I guess maybe 10,000 of them are part of the church. So the goal is how do we reach these 10,000 people? And he's saying the old model of the church is try to get them to come to church. Mm-hmm. He's saying what we need to be doing is saying how do we get out of the church to really reach those people. So, you know, we were down there talking to the people down at the, where Paul works, community center, and about maybe trying to use their building for another church or something like that, which didn't come to pass. But the lady said something that I had never thought of. She goes, "Why don't you guys think about reaching the Hispanic community?" I said, "Well, how many are there?" There's 300 Hispanic people in Alliance. I never knew that, and so I started rethinking about how do we reach these Hispanic people. All of a sudden, the Hinojosa family comes, and there's maybe a potential there. I was over at your house the other day.
Well,
you know, and you had, I don't know, 8 or 10
oh, my nieces,
nieces and nephews there. Said, we need to reach these people for Jesus. So
yeah,
it's like how do we take this pocket of 300 Hispanic people? You know, we have Sue Moss, who speaks Spanish. So I don't know if the Lord is bringing us the resources to actually do something, but it seems like all of a sudden there's these little, he called them assets, that are here. How do we use them to reach this group of people? And what about how many single moms are there in our community? You know, how do we reach those or their children? You know, is there a way? So all of our if you want to call them programs or outreach opportunities, are really designed around those 10,000 people out there. Who are they? How do we best reach them? And that's how we end up developing our outreach focus. And if you want to call them programs or what have you, just by really understanding what is it that's in the community we have right now. And I think another thing is part of this idea of making disciples is we got to realize that all of us already have a sphere of influence. You know, I go to your house on 4th of July, I see hundreds of people out there. That's a sphere of influence. I know many of them are saved, but some of them probably are not. I mean, you already have a mission field. You know, Dan Snyder, you know, he's got a huge oikos. You know, Dale Diane Scott have a huge oikos. There are people here that relate to hundreds of unsaved people, could be relatives, whatever. But are we thinking strategically about how can we approach the people or reach those people for Jesus? And that's why I was telling you guys, we need to be thinking about how do we...
I was talking to both the girls today. The other girl was downstairs sleeping. And I was talking to both of them about Jesus, you know. And I was telling them, you know, that Jesus died on the cross for us, you know, to save us from sin, you know. One of the girls got smart about it, you know, she got a real, you know, nasty attitude about it.
But it
doesn't matter. But, yeah, it does matter. Anyway, well, I was talking to her. I was talking to the other girl, you know, the one I told you she said she would go to church with me, but as soon as her boyfriend got in the picture, it was like, I don't believe in God.
Right.
Yeah, okay. But you go to church. In California, right? As I was telling her, you know. And so I'm gonna keep on reaching out to them, you know. I'm not just gonna sit in the house and just eat bonbons. I don't watch soap operas and cartoons.
You know, I do love it.
I don't watch soap operas.
You hey, now that's we all have these relationships that we can begin to start thinking about how I step out of my comfort zone to begin to do that. So
even if you know, they're like smart or whatever, you know, you still gotta, no matter what, you still gotta keep on trying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we don't give up.
I mean,
yeah. Well, that's what he talks about, every man, woman, and child having multiple opportunities to accept, reject, or whatever the word, you know, that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. So, amen.